Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the Gospel in Luke 17. You just heard that read a moment ago, but I'd like to go back through it with you. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word. Because of the small white spots on his eyelids and on his hands, the man had thought something might be wrong. His visit to the priest had not gone well. His diagnosis was hardly what he had hoped to hear. From now on, anything he touched would be unclean. Fear of infecting his family and friends would keep him from their sides. For that matter, he was not allowed to get within 6 feet of anyone unless that anyone was also a leper. If anyone gave some sign of wanting to break that 6-foot barrier, he had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" No longer could he go to the temple to make a sacrifice. No longer could he go to work to make a living. He would also begin to lose the sensation of pain, which at first sounds like not that bad a deal, until you realize what this meant was that he could have a broken bone and not know it. Or he could receive an infection from a scratch or a wound and not realize it until it had developed too far. Maybe, the man thought, maybe the people are right. Maybe this disease is some sort of divine curse for some great sin that I committed. How else could he explain the dreadful destruction which was coming on his body, not to mention the desolation that was already taking hold in his heart? And so it was that this man found himself in the company of 9 other people who understood his situation because they were suffering with the same disease with which he suffered. And together they lived outside a town in the borderland between Galilee and Samaria. And there at the gates of the community, they kept their prescribed distance from the healthier and happier folk who were coming and going from the village. And there they hoped someone might take pity on them occasionally, share maybe a bit of food, some other charity, and maybe just as importantly, share some news from the outside world, from where things were going on like they always had. I wonder what news these 10 had heard about Jesus. Certainly someone had told them something along the way. Perhaps they had been told of how he had healed so many at Capernaum. Maybe they had heard the story of Jairus' daughter being brought back from death itself. Whatever they had heard, one day it finally happened. News reached them that this Jesus was coming close. He was coming to their village, and they wanted to be prepared. They decided they were going to call out to Jesus from a distance, and they would not be specific in their request. They would say together, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And let him decide what form that mercy was going to take. This they did. They made their appeal. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And without much in the way of conversation or interaction, Jesus simply heard them and said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He did this because it was the priests who gave them their diagnosis. He was telling them, "Go show yourselves to the men who can give you a clean bill of health." And it's to the credit of those lepers that they all started out immediately toward Jerusalem. They heard and they obeyed. They were going straight for the temple, straight for their audience with the priests, so that they could receive a new verdict about their future. And Scripture doesn't say how many miles they traveled. Luke doesn't let us know how much time elapsed before they realized they had been made well. Now, without the ability to see their own faces, maybe part of this was wrapped up in the fact that when they looked at each other, they received the revelation. They were healed. The white scales were gone. The thickening of the facial features disappeared. The fingers and toes were feeling again. They had been restored. And that great news, this incredible, miraculous turn of events, left these men who had been given a new lease on life a decision to make. They could, as they had been instructed by Jesus himself, continue on the path to the priests in Jerusalem. There they would hear that not only had their bodies been restored, but their whole past life was being given back to them again. And on that path was a reunion with family and friends and wife and children. On that path was the ability to return home and go back to work and live out their lives that they had enjoyed before. The other path, the other choice, well, that path would take them back to Jesus, so they could give him thanks for the miracle that he had performed. Each of these 10 lepers had a choice. Now, all of them were instructed, "Go to the temple, see the priest." Then what? See, this is the choice. No doubt when they got home, having seen the priest, having been given the green light, the easier it was to put this errand back on the back burner. As soon as they got home, can you imagine the scene? How thrilled they would have been to be immersed in their past lives, to hold their kids again, to embrace their wife and family. And so I assume each of these people, in their own way, wanted to give Jesus thanks. They intended to thank him at some point, but somehow life got in the way. There was so much to celebrate. They just never got around to making the trip or saying the words, "Thank you, Jesus." Except for one. One man who was a double outcast He'd been a leper, and he was still a Samaritan. That meant twice the isolation. But there had been something about Jesus and this healing that he had brought. Clearly, it was a miracle, which meant a new lease on life for each of the lepers, but there was more to it. This Jesus, about whom they had heard enough, did not seem bothered in the least by their status as unclean people. He couldn't tell for sure, but it was almost as if Jesus had taken their uncleanliness and the filth of their disease upon himself. Could that have been right? The former leper couldn't be sure. All he knew is that Jesus was responsible for his restoration, and he needed to say thank you. He had received the most priceless gift, his whole life rebooted, his old life restored to him in full. But now he wanted to receive the giver of that priceless gift. Yes, he had been a leper, and yes, he was still a foreigner, but it hadn't mattered. Jesus still gave to him. What else might this Jesus have to give? He wondered. And so he returned. My friends, the Jesus who gave to the leper is the same Jesus who gives to you today. He is not bothered in the least by your unclean heart or the filth of any past thought, word, or deed. He has indeed taken the disease of our sin upon himself, taken it all the way to his cross, and buried it, in fact, in his tomb. And there it stays. This Jesus rose from the dead, completely renewed, so that your life and mine might likewise be rebooted, and a life with God restored right now and lasting into eternity. These are priceless, priceless gifts bought and paid for by the innocent suffering and death of Jesus. So celebrate them by all means. Thank God for these gifts. And take the path that leads you back to the giver. Please pray with me. O be our great deliverer still, the Lord of life and death. Restore and quicken, soothe and bless with your life-giving breath. To hands that work and eyes that see, give wisdom's healing power, that whole and sick and weak and strong may praise you evermore. In Jesus' name, amen.